When we're trying to explain an idea, what do we do? If I'm trying to tell you some technical piece of data, do I continue repeating what I have said, all the technical jargon, until you get it? No, I don't do that, because that doesn't work. What does work are things that we have begun to call metaphors, similes, fancy words for stories. We tell stories in order to get a point across, an idea, a concept across. The concepts become concrete. They become incarnated. They take on flesh, a life of their own in stories, in actions. And suddenly the concept is real to us in a way that technical jargon and explanations could never be. Jesus said to the disciples, "Love one another even as I have loved you." Great. Technical jargon, right there. But what he had done just beforehand is incarnate that idea of how you ought to love one another. Before he tells them, "Love one another as I have loved you," he shows them exactly what that love looks like. It looks like service. It looks like making one's self lower in order to serve others. It looks like washing people clean. And this is made most clear in Jesus' explanation to Peter. Peter, who thinks that this is beneath Jesus. "Jesus, you can't do this. You're the teacher. You're the Messiah. You can't go around washing people's feet. It's just not right. That's something that the servants do." But Jesus says to Peter, "Unless you are washed, you have no part of me." This is what is going to happen. And on this Maundy Thursday, it makes me think of that Jesus is not just talking about washing Peter's feet when he says, "Unless you are washed by me, you have no part of me." He's talking about something else besides this. He's talking about being washed clean in the blood of Jesus, in Jesus' crucifixion, being washed clean in the blood of the Lamb, being washed clean a few minutes later after this discourse when Jesus holds up a piece of bread at the table and says, "This is my body," holds up a cup and says, "This is my blood." It makes it real to us. It makes it so that we understand it. When I was 19, 20 years old, so almost a decade ago now, my mother had to have knee surgery. Her side of the family all suffers from various knee maladies, and she was the last of her generation to have to go under the knife for a knee surgery. And so a day before the surgery, she sat me down, because, you know, nothing is ever certain in this world, and said, "Jed, I need you to know something. When I am gone, all you and your little brother have are each other. And as long as you have each other, then I am with you, no matter what happens." Now, at the time, I sort of went, yeah, whatever. You know, "Mom, you're going to be fine. It's just knee surgery. Come on, really." But the more I thought about it, the more I thought about her words, "Through you, the two of you, I continue." That is in some ways true, and it's almost a microcosm of what Jesus is talking about. Love one another as I have loved you. You are now the body of Christ. When you eat this bread, when you drink this wine, when you act as I am acting, you are now the body of Christ. Together tonight, we're going to do our best as followers of Jesus to do what he asks, to love one another. I'm going to invite you in just one short moment, if you are so moved, to come up and have your feet washed and wash other people's feet in return. And shortly after that, we are going to stand at the table just as Jesus did 2,000 years ago and say, "This is my body. This is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." What Jesus did millennia ago on this night was usher in a new time, a new age, the age of God. And we are still following that. And so tonight, let us remember that and love one another. Amen.